Amen. I'm glad that is true. Amen. Living by faith, no need for alarm. Amen. Romans chapter number 8, where our text will be tonight. Romans chapter number 8. By the way, I mentioned to you there about the next Sunday morning, and then dinner, and then no PM service. And also this next Wednesday, this upcoming Wednesday night, Brother Scott Allen will be with us. Brother Allen is a missionary that we support, and they're in on furlough, and looking forward to seeing them again. Amen. And I trust that it'll be a blessing. And matter of fact, I think I first met him here. I believe this is where we first met him. And then he was in Kansas. I preached a missions conference for Dad that same year, and they were there, and we got to know him a little bit more. And then we had them come on into North Carolina. They came and was with us there. And matter of fact, his oldest daughter met Jonathan Smith, Elliot Smith's boy, while they were in, and they're married now. Amen. And so that's Brother Allen will be here. Him and his wife, both of their daughters are out of the home. The youngest daughter now is not married, but is in college. And so just him and his wife, I think, will be here this Wednesday night. Looking forward to that. By the way, also, the missionaries that were staying in the back, their plan was to stay through tonight, then leave in the morning, I think is right. But they went to Brother Houghton's church this past Wednesday night. Brother Houghton told him he has a missions apartment. And so they actually went, he invited them to come stay there since they were going to have to be moving out from here. And so they moved out actually last night. They sent me a text, left me a message sometime yesterday afternoon, and said they went out. They left a thank you note. I've got it posted outside on the bulletin board, and appreciate them being here. They appreciated our generosity to them, allowing them to be here these days. And of course, he asked me, did I mind them not being in our services? I told him, no, I understand. They're here to try to raise money. They had a downtime between some meetings, but if they could book a meeting or get in and just, get to know a preacher, it'd be a help. And so they did that, and that's a blessing. And then one other thing, just an announcement. Brother Jerry Nye called me this afternoon, and he actually called me. It was an accident, but it worked out good. They voted him in unanimous today as the pastor at Sturgis. So that's a blessing. He had come on a trial basis, and so now they voted him in. Pray for them. Pray that God would work in that. He said they also had a record attendance in Sunday school and in preaching today. That usually only happens when they're voting a preacher out. yeah, that's true. But that's a blessing. He said he hoped it was a good sort of a harbinger of things to come. I hope that's right too. Amen. But pray that God would bless that work there as well. Amen. All right. Having said all that, oh, and the missionary family that was here, they'll be here, Lord willing, in August and be in the missions conference. So there's where that connection is. That's how they knew to call me when they needed a place. All right. Romans chapter number 8. I want to read the first verse, and then I'm going to jump over and read some other verses in this chapter. I'm going to take my text from a verse in the midst of the chapter. I'll show you that in a moment. And I'm not going to preach long tonight, Lord willing. I'm just going to preach a thought that I hope will be a help to you. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. I'm glad there's no condemnation for the child of God. Jump down to verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. That's a verse I'm going to use as my text. Then verse number 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So this chapter begins with no condemnation. And it ends with no separation. And in the midst, verse number 31, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? We paraphrase that in the mountains of North Carolina. We'd say, if God be for us, who cares who's against us? Amen. Amen. But I want to preach this evening on the thought, eternal security. Just how secure are the saved? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Joshua Shepherd, would you lead us in prayer, please? Please help us, Lord. Yes.
For saving us, Lord, and for giving us that security that we have in you, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, I pray you help him as he preaches that he give us something that we can use.
Yes, Lord.
And that would be an encouragement to the saints. And Lord, I pray for anybody here that's lost that come to know you before it's eternally too late. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Been some things said recently about eternal security and some discussion about that. I talked with the missionary, the Grays that were in these last few days, Glendon Gray and his wife that were with us these last few days. And she grew up Independent Baptist. Her dad's a pastor. But he grew up in a Nazarene church, Church of the Nazarene. And so, of course, that one of their major doctrines is the loss of salvation and or the eternal insecurity of the believer, however you want to say it. They don't call it that, but that's what it is. And he said that he remembered the first time he ever had a doubt about that doctrine. I think he said he was 10 or 11 years old. He said a woman in the church said that God had called and anointed her to preach. Well, there's a mistake to start with. But she said that, and so they gave her the opportunity to preach. And in her preaching, she said this. She said, you could get saved and live for God for a number of years and then have a wrong thought or do something wrong and die, for example, in a car accident. And she said, when you stood before God, God would say, depart from me. I never knew you. Brother Gray said immediately when she said that, he thought, well, if he did know you at one time, he couldn't say, I never knew you, unless he's a liar. And so he said that he got to think, and he said he just couldn't get past that. He said, is God a liar? Is God a liar? Did he know you or did he never know you? Well, here's really, if you want to boil it down, if God's true, and he is true, by the way, then if he ever knew you, he could never say, I never knew you.
Amen.
On the other spectrum end of that same coin, it is the same coin. If God is true, then if he said it's everlasting life, then it must last forever.
Right.
Or else it's not true. And so there, I think it's just reasonable. And of course, I expect I'm preaching to the choir tonight as far as those seated here. Maybe some on the radio might not necessarily be, but I believe that we can see in the scriptures, and I'm going to use primarily Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to deal with this verse and make just a few statements, real simple and real easy. I do have a few other verses that we'll look at as well. But I believe the Bible teaches the security of the believer.
Amen.
It teaches security. The security of the believer is a lot more secure than social security.
Yeah, right.
Amen. The security of the believer is a lot more secure than electronic security. Amen.
Right.
The security of the believer is a lot more secure than letting the government make you secure. Amen. In other words, God's security is a security that will last. Now, the book of Romans, I believe, is a great book. Great book. And Romans chapter 8, some have said, is the Mount Everest. I believe that's right. Of the book of Romans. It's a great, great pinnacle of the book of Romans. And this chapter deals with the security of the believer. Have you ever thought just how secure? You see, we preach, and we really do try to bear down on the fact that if you say you got saved and there's never been a change, then you're not saved. It's not that you got it and lost it. It's that you never got it.
Right.
And we try to make that plain, because so many people believe that just because they said the right words,
right.
that then that makes them saved. And that doesn't necessarily make you saved just saying the right words. There's got to be a difference. There's something that happens. There's a transaction between heaven and earth. Amen. And it's beyond your power and beyond your doing in which that transaction takes place. There must be something supernatural. I heard Brother Raines preaching one night, I think it's this past week, and he's talking about getting saved and when the Spirit, it was Monday and Tuesday night, and he made the comment, I think it's on Tuesday night, that you don't just get saved at your whim when you decide to. For example, you don't just say, well, I think I'll get saved this coming Sunday. You might say that, but you might not get saved this coming Sunday. You don't just pick a day. Say, well, I think I'll get saved. He said, on Uncle Joe's birthday, that's the day Daddy got saved. I think that's the day I'll get saved. It don't work that way.
Right.
It takes the moving of the Holy Ghost. If God's not involved in your salvation, you're not saved.
Amen.
It's more than man. Amen. It's got to be more than man. And the book of Romans deals with that very, very well, and I think it's good. Now, our text verse in verse number 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Most time when we think about that, we think of the physical force of God. If God's for us, we can withstand anything, and we can, by the way. Amen. And we can say it across the board. I know Miss Bell is facing some new territory. She's got some things in front of her. And as we said, thank God there's some light been shown. She knows some of it. But there's still some shadowy areas, some unknowns out there that she's got to face. But you can rest assured, if God's for you, it don't matter really what you face. And we can do the same thing in our life. Whatever that is ahead of us, as long as we know God is for us, amen, we don't really have to be so worried about all this other stuff. But we think of it as a physical force. For example, when Israel was in Egyptian bondage, Egypt at that time looked like was the ruling kingdom practically. I mean, the famine was everywhere else. Egypt, rather than suffering in the famine, there were some suffering, but they were growing stronger. At least the government of Egypt was growing stronger all the time. And it came to the point that government got afraid of the Jews and their rising population. They decided we're going to have to enslave them. We're going to have to put them in bondage and cause them to work for us, or else one of these days they're going to overcome us. And so the Pharaoh had such a grasp and such a hold upon those Israelites. When Moses said, "Let my people go," it's like Pharaoh said, "Hi, who are you?" When Moses said, "It's not me, it's the Lord that said, let my people go," Pharaoh just gripped them a little tighter and said, "Well, who does God think he is? Who is this Lord that's telling me to let God's people go?" Well, God showed him. Amen. In the physical force, God showed him. In the spiritual realm, God showed him. Then when Israel, after they escaped with a high hand, the Bible said, and they came down to the Red Sea, and I alluded to this the other day, all that force against them, the force of nature. You got the Red Sea in front of them, the mountains on either side, and then the Egyptian army coming up behind them. And God stepped in, amen, and God rolled the waters back, and God let Israel walk across on dry ground, and the same dry land that they walked across, Egypt was drowned in that same territory when the waters rolled back in on the Egyptians, amen. And Israel got over on the other side, and they sang the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. And they said this, they said, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name." Amen. Our God's a mighty God. Amen. We don't have to be afraid of what men can do to us. Our God's a mighty God, and nobody can whip Him. Amen. Nobody can overcome Him. Then I read in 1 Kings chapter number 19... 2 Kings chapter number 19, where God killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. Amen. They had threatened to kill Judah. They were going to overcome Judah. They had threatened the king. And you remember, they'd written this letter and they'd made these statements, and the king went and spread it out before the Lord. And it's as if he said, Lord, do you hear what they're saying about you? Do you hear what they say they're going to do? Because they had talked about their gods are going to overcome Israel's God and who was their God that they was trusting in and on and on. And so the king, as if he said, God, do you hear what they're saying? And God said, yeah, I hear, and I'm going to shut their mouth. And that very night, without Israel having to fire a shot, God killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Amen. That's a mighty God.
Amen.
Protecting His children. Amen. So we could see it again and again. I got a couple other illustrations that I wrote about when Israel went into the Promised Land. First major city they faced was a major city. The city of Jericho with the high walls. Fortified, and it didn't look like they was going to get in. And God just knocked the walls over. And the walls came tumbling down and Israel got the victory. Amen. Again, without having to have battering rams, without having to have dynamite and all kinds of fortified things. They didn't need all that. God, amen. God caused those walls to come tumbling down by His mighty power. That's our God. And Moses could have said when they got on the other side of the Red Sea, Joshua could have said when the walls came tumbling down, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Now this is more modern day. In 1967, that's way back in the dark ages, before they started writing history books, for some of you. But in 1967, Israel was attacked by the Arab forces. United Arabs. Six Arab nations surrounding Israel attacked Israel. Amen. They outnumbered, they outgunned, and they outmaneuvered Israel. But in six short days, God gave Israel the victory.
Amen.
It's known today as the Six-Day War. Amen. By the way, that's why they have what's called the occupied territory. Israel gained ground. Not only didn't lose ground, they gained ground. Amen. In that great, great battle. Who did that? I'll tell you who I believe. God did that. And God has proven again and again, even in our modern day, that if God is for you, whether it's a man or a nation, if God is for you, it doesn't matter how big the force is against you. Amen. Doesn't matter how bold the force is. Nobody can defeat our God. Amen. But our verse here, our text, I said that most time we look at that as a physical, the physical prowess of God, the power of Almighty God. If God be for us. But I want to focus on that one little word in there, and I want you to look at it in this direction. I think it's right, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things if God be, here's the word, for us. The word for means to substitute. It's a substitutionary word. I've read that. I read a commentator said that in the Greek that word for means substitution. So I looked it up in Strong's Concordance and there it means above, in the place of, amen, for a substitute. And there's an illustration for that. For example, when I'm gone in a couple of weeks, then I'll have somebody preach for me. That doesn't mean they're preaching to me. It doesn't mean they're preaching about me, hopefully. It means they're preaching in my place, right? We understand that. And here's the wonderful thing of the security of the believer is that God in the body of His Son, stepped in our place. Amen. God took our place. He substituted Himself for us. He took the blow. He took the brunt of the battle. He stood in our place and won the victory. Amen. And so our verse says, if God be for us, if God's in our place, if the devil wants to rail on us, God's in our place. If the devil wants to attack us, God is in our place. He is our substitute. Matter of fact, the next verse goes on to talk about that. Look at verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up, here's that word again, for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So verse number 32 deals with the fact that Jesus died for us. Jesus died in our place. That's the way we could say it. Amen. Look at verse number 33. Paul says, who shall lay anything
to the charge of God's elect. It is God that justifieth. Amen. All because of the work that Christ did on Calvary, the satisfying of sin's debt, the fulfilling of the law that Christ did on Calvary, Jesus dying in my place, now God can forgive sinners. Amen. Now God can receive us. He's still just. And now He's the justifier of them that believe. Why? Because Jesus took our place. And so there's no charge against us, thank God, by the grace of God, since Jesus took our place. Nobody can lay a charge against God's elect. What are they going to say about Jesus? Where are they going to find fault with Jesus? He's in our place. Amen. And thank God it's true. Now, look on down at verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? Matter of fact, I want you to, before I read on, I want you to notice every one of these verses is dealing with a person. Who? In verse number 31, who can be against us? Verse number 33, who shall lay anything? Verse number 34, who is he that condemneth? There is a personal condemner. There is an accuser of the brethren. He's talking about Satan railing his accusation. Satan accusing us. Amen. So he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Amen. You see, the devil wants to condemn the child of God. The devil accuses us. But God sent His Son to be a substitute, and God can find no fault in His Son. Amen. Now, the devil can't destroy us. He can discourage us. He can detour us. He can derail us, get us off track. But he can't destroy us, and he certainly cannot damn us. Amen. Because we've been saved by the good grace of God. If you're saved, you're secure. Amen. You're as secure as you possibly could be because of Jesus. It's all because of Him. It's not, well, if I keep doing right. No, you didn't get there by doing right. You're not staying in by doing right. Amen. It's not left up to you. It's not that Jesus paid the down payment and said, all right, if you can keep up the installments, you'll be all right. You'll make it in. Amen. He paid it all. Amen. Therefore, when we get to heaven, we'll have to say, I owe it all to Jesus. Amen. He's the one that paved the way. He's the one that got me in. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Amen. Now, I want to look at verse number 34 and deal with a couple of thoughts from verse number 34 about our security. Number one, we are secure by the work of Christ on the cross. Look here what he said. Who is he that condemned? Here, he underlined this phrase. It is Christ that died. Amen. The perfect lamb, Brother Bell talking about Cain and Abel's offering, Abel bringing a lamb. God's perfect lamb died in my place. Who can say anything against God's plan? Who can say anything against God's lamb? Who can say anything against God's child? Since we're in the place, since Christ took our place as our substitutionary role. Amen. I'll get it out in a minute. We are secure by the work of Christ on the cross. It is Christ that died. When he's telling his followers in John chapter number 14, chapter 13, he starts getting them ready for heading to the cross. And from there on, the rest of John, he's dealing with headed to the cross and about the cross and then the resurrection. But in John 14, he tells them about, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, I go, and he's letting them know, I'm going, I'm leaving. But I go to prepare a place for you. I don't believe that he's talking about going to and building mansions. He said, in my Father's house are already, they're there. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. He was going to prepare a place. He was going to make a way that man could get to heaven, that men could move to glory. Men saved men at that time, people that had believed look forward to Christ. We're in paradise, but that wasn't in heaven. But Jesus went to prepare a place for us. And He sat down at the right hand of the Father, a place where man can be next to the Father. Amen. And He prepared that. It is Christ that took my place on the cross. It is Christ that prepared a place for me in glory. Since Jesus took my place on Calvary, since Jesus paid the price for me, He saved me, and He's not about to lose me. Amen. You can rejoice in that. Satan lost his hold on sinners by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on Calvary. We are secure by the work of Christ on the cross. Number two, we are secure by the life of Christ on the throne. Not only He died, but look at verse 34 also. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. There's the place He prepared for us. At the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I'm glad I'm not serving a dead Savior on the cross. Amen. Amen. I know the Catholics carry the cross with a dead body on that cross. Amen. We're not serving a dead Savior. Amen. The cross is empty, and so is the tomb, praise God. Amen. We're not serving a dead Savior. Our Savior is alive. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He's alive and well. So we're saved by His death, but we're also saved by His life. He died on the cross, but He's alive and well and seated on the throne. And the devil can't do one thing about it. Amen. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 9. And we'll go back and forth from Romans to Hebrews for just a minute or two here. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 24. These will be familiar verses to you. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Christ went into the holy place for us. Amen. He represented us at the holy offering place of God. When He sprinkled His blood on the mercy seat, it was His blood that was shed for us. Amen. And He took our place on Calvary, and He took our place in the holy place, and He took our place at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Hold your place in Hebrews. We're going to go back to it in a minute. But turn back to Romans. But look back at chapter number 5 of the book of Romans. Chapter 5 and verse number 10. Chapter 5 and verse number 10. Talking about Christ taking our place. Verse 10, he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Hallelujah. Amen. Not only did He die for us, but He's living for us. Amen. And we're serving a living Savior. We'll be singing those songs before too long. I serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what men may say. Amen. Our Savior is alive and well. He died for us. He is living for us. We're secure because of the fact not only of what He did in the past, what He's doing right now, He's making intercession for us, the Bible said. I don't get that same word in there. For us. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 7. We'll hold your place in Romans 5. We'll be back again. Hebrews chapter 7. If this don't do anything else to get the dust out of your Bible. Amen. Turning back and forth. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth. He's alive and will live forever to make intercession for us. Amen. Again, if God be for us, so He died for us. He's alive for us. He's making intercession for us. Amen. The life of intercession that our Lord now lives before the Father secures us. The devil says, but what about what happens after Christ died? Well, he's alive, and so he's still praying for us, and he's still making intercession for us, and he's still living for us. So what can matter? What does it matter who's against us if God be for us? Amen. The blood on the mercy seat in heaven is a constant reminder to God the Father that the debt has been paid and justification has been made. Amen. Constant reminder. So I'll say this, and I believe you can agree with me. As long as Christ lives, those with eternal life will live. If the devil can ever take the life of Christ again, then he can take ours. Amen. But he can't take Christ's life. He's the everlasting God, what the Bible said. Amen. He's the everlasting Father. And we have everlasting life by the good grace of God. God is for us, and it really doesn't matter who's against us. We're secure by the death of Christ on the cross. We're secured by the life of Christ on the throne. And number three, back in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5, we are secured by the love of Christ in our heart. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. How did we get that? Verse number 6 tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. We have the Holy Ghost because God, Christ, gave us the gift. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he comes to comfort us. He lives in our heart. And the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart. The devil can't do one thing about that. Amen. The Holy Ghost lives within us, and the devil can't knock him out. Amen. Now I realize that we live in a sense, we live in a quandary. We live in a dichotomy. There's two truths. We still live in the flesh. Amen. We're alive in the Spirit, and we're still living in the flesh. And so we do make mistakes. It is possible for us to mess up. Amen. But our mistakes do not negate what Jesus did on the cross. Our mistakes do not negate what Jesus is doing at the throne. Our mistakes do not negate what the Holy Ghost is in our heart. Amen. And so we can say, as the scripture said that we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's a capital S. The Spirit of God is in us. And He leads us in the right way. Amen. Now there's no condemnation. But what about the future, preacher? Well, the book ended, and I read the scripture, and it's where I ended up there in chapter number 8 and verse number 38 and 39. There is nothing, and he lists all these things. I think that he racked his mind. I know that God was inspiring him to find the right words, but he even gets down there to say that if there be any other creature, if I've left out anything, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the love of Christ. What put that love in us? Christ dying on Calvary, Christ living, sitting on the throne, and the Spirit of God reigning and ruling in our heart. That's what puts the love of Christ in us that cannot be taken away. We are now sealed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. When things are sealed, they're kept. They're put up. We use the word preserves. Amen. Preserves. They're preserved for a time, but the child of God is preserved for eternity. Now, let me close with this. I hear people say, do you believe in that once saved, always saved dogma? I certainly do. I certainly do. But the emphasis is on the once saved. Because a whole lot of people this crowd that says, well now, I said that prayer and I've got my name on the roll and I've been in the baptismal pool and I've changed, you know, I'm doing better, but I can live like I want to live, but I can do what I want to do, and in spite of all my sin, nothing's ever going to be said. That crowd that wants to live in sin has a problem. They've not lost it. They never found it. They're on the broad way that leads to destruction. They've never found that narrow way, that straight way that leads to life. But those that are on that straight and narrow way are not going to fall out. God's not going to lose. He talks about holding them in His hand in John chapter number 10. And I'm glad we're in the hand of Christ. Christ is in the hand of God. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And there is nothing the devil can do about that. How secure is the believer? He's eternally secure. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have a song. The Lord spoke to you. If you're not saved, I ask you, have you ever been saved? Have you ever been saved? That once saved. If you're saved, don't let the devil defeat you. Don't let the devil discourage you and the devil try to derail you and tell you that you're going to lose it. You're not kept by your power. You're kept by the power of God. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the not only instruction, but the encouragement that we get from just looking at the Bible and taking God at His Word. Believing, Lord, every man may be a liar, but God is true. You're the God that cannot lie. You speak the truth. Matter of fact, you are the truth. And Lord, you said that we have everlasting life. Therefore, it must last forever. I thank you for it. Help us, dear God, that we might stand secure. We might stand up straight and strong and serve our Lord, not out of duty, not out of trying to keep something, but out of thanks and out of really gratitude for the generosity of our great God, giving us such a great blessing and such a great privilege that we are now the sons of God. Lord, help us to glorify you. Work in the invitation time according to thy will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. You obey the Lord while we sing.